We're going to hear from another storyteller now. Lauren Bender is an assistant teacher at the Kennedy Krieger School. She's a writer, performer, an artist, a twin, and a co-director of Narrow House, a publisher of avant-garde poetry, literature, and literary recordings. And she's not only a twin, she's an identical twin. Not only an identical twin, but an identical twin who lives with her identical twin. Not only an identical twin who lives with her identical twin, but an identical twin who lives with her identical twin in Hamden. So, there you go. Without further ado, please welcome to the stage, Lauren Bender.
Thank you, Caleb. It's like a freak show over in Hamden. So here I am in my grandmother's front yard in Parkville, having just eaten my weight in Fenwick Bakery treats with my twin sister and her boyfriend and my little grandmom in the front yard. And we're standing there saying our spaghetti western goodbyes. We're kind of, instead of looking at one another, we're looking out into the horizon at our manifest destiny, which in Parkville looks like the roofs of houses across the street. And it was an August day last summer where it was so hot that the weather was kind of visible. It was humid and damp and really foggy and misty and just pretty miserable out. But standing there next to my little grandmom on her impossibly soft grass, I was suddenly transported back to the glory days of my childhood in the summer, spent in that same yard on that same grass with my grandmother and grandfather. And my grandmother would set up a sprinkler for us in the backyard that we would run through, and my grandfather would play doo-wop classics from the speakers in his shed. And what I remember most from being in her yard in the summer was all of this suburban wildlife that would kind of coexist peacefully, and it was all very small and Disney-like, and there were very tiny bunnies and families under the evergreen tree, and extremely small sparrows and chickadees, and everything was little and got along, and it was really, really great. And there was a little yippy dog that lived next door at the dysfunctional neighbor's house, and even that was cute and cuddly and nice. And so here I am, having nostalgia and just remembering these cute, fuzzy little creatures who all kind of got along, when all of a sudden I'm just like snapped out of my reverie by the ginormous, beastly head of an animal that suddenly emerges out of the August fog in front of us, and followed by its slinky body. And needless to say, our conversation at this point had totally ceased, and the four of us are standing there, my grandmother, me, my sister, her boyfriend, and you can just hear the wheels in our minds turning, trying to identify this thing and put a label to it to kind of assuage our fears. And it slinks past us and trots across my grandmom's yard, across the street, and lopes up onto the porch of the neighbor's house across the street, where it turns and looks us right in the eye and just installs itself there like a statue. And so our wheels are turning, we're trying to label it, and suddenly little grandmom comes out with a learned and wise scientific phrase. She says, "It's probably a fox." And my grandmom, you know, she's in her 80s, but her visual acuity is like spot on. And so she knew as well as the three of us that there's no way that this was a fox. And the best way, I've been trying to describe this thing for a year now, and the best way I can do it is that in the first Ghostbusters movie, Sigourney Weaver has these ghoulish gargoyle dogs that guard her ghostly kingdom. It was like that, but a lot bigger, like as big as Sigourney Weaver, or probably bigger. And she looks big to me. I mean, everybody looks tall to me, but she looks, you know, large. And this thing was larger. It was like, this is no exaggeration. It was like 7 or 8 feet long. It had the body of a dog, but like the delicate legs of a cat and these long, gristly toenails. and the suede back and mangy fur, and the most disturbing and vivid feature of it was its block-like head. It had this, it was like a cube almost, and it had a short snout and these beady little eyes and these gnawed-off ears coming off the top of it, and this explosion of teeth coming out of its, you know, grinning, panting mouth, and a hairless face. So Grandma thinks it's a fox. The other thing is she said it's probably a fox. And anytime you put the word probably in front of the name of an animal, you should go inside. And we were outside, so we all ran to the porch. And I throw open the screen door, and I look, and it's just three of us standing there. And I turn, and Grandma is shuffling up the walk, in hands in her pockets of her little clam digger pants, bare feet. I think she even stooped to pick up the newspaper, but I could be making that part up. And she has her back to this beast, you know? And I guess when you're in your 80s, it's like, you know, you've seen a lot. You have license to ignore what you want to ignore and pay attention to what you want to pay attention to. And everything can be a fox. Everything can be benign. And if it's not, the worst that happens is like you have a more interesting day than you normally would. So she doesn't care. It's no big deal. And long story short, the three of us end up waiting for this beast to slink behind a bush across the street. And we run back to our car and we speed away. Grandma's standing in the yard waving. And we get home and we embark upon our exhaustive Google search to figure out what the hell we just saw in Grandma's yard. And so there were three of us in three separate rooms, all Googling at once. And the search terms, you know, they started out pretty, you know, I don't know, nondescript. It was like coyote, big dog, mange, you know, stuff like that. And then it became a little more comprehensive where it was like, you know, cat dog, one word, and then like cat hyphen dog, and then it got ridiculous, you know, it was like ghost dog, mangy wolverine, chupacabra, mythical animal creature. And I finally, the phrase I finally typed in that actually got me the picture of this thing was coyote dog mangy monster. And suddenly, up pops this thumbnail image of the thing that we saw. And apparently it's called the Yardley Yeti. Although it's not a Yeti, it's not a Sasquatch, but it's called the Yardley Yeti because they've seen it in Yardley, Pennsylvania, and they've seen it in rural Texas. And I am here to tell you that there is one in Parkville on Hiss Avenue between the Senior Center, which none of you would know about, and the Parkville Elementary School. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my grandmother, who's actually here tonight, and I'm not going to point her out because I don't want to embarrass her. which I already have. She's the one, you know, probably looking up here right now, shaking her head disapprovingly, deciding who's going to get my Christmas present this year. And she's also really cute, so look for the really cute one. But she saw it. She has no limbs left, but she wears its pelt around the belt of her clam diggers. But she'll probably tell you it's a fox.
How about that? That part of Parkville is a declared no Yardley Yeti zone, too. So big trouble ahead for that creature.